Should we start? Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for coming to this session. I know it's been a long night. I think I saw some of you at one of the parties last night. Does everybody have the Shoko stamp still on? I tried to wash it away, but it didn't work. So today we're gonna just briefly go through the VDI deployment walkthrough. It will be a very high-level discussion. So both me and Klaus are technical guys. So if you have technical questions or you want to go deeper in one of the subjects, you can we can have a Q&A session at the end. So we're going to be 15 minutes at the end for Q&As. And then we can take all the other questions at the Ask the Experts booth. So you can find us tonight at the Experts. So my name is Tiberiu Radu. I'm working with Microsoft Romania as a consultant, an infrastructure consultant. I focused on virtualization technologies for the last couple of years. And Romania, of course, doesn't need any introduction. Everybody knows where it is, unlike Germany. So.
Yeah, good morning also as well from my side. My name is Klaus Emmerich. I'm from Microsoft Consulting Services in Germany. And I just would like to mention that we are all world champions. So this to set expectations correctly, so this will be a world-class presentation. So we go ahead and start with the session objectives of this.
So how many of you have played with VDI RDS technologies in 2012 R2, tried to set it up? Okay, so it's the point of this session is to go through what it means to configure everything, get it from a simple laptop. So you might not see it, but the entire demos are actually set on a single laptop. So it's commodity hardware, nothing special about it. And we spin up a lot of machines on it, so you can do the same thing. And if you played with it, you probably saw that it's quite easy to go through the deployments. Those are the objectives. The key takeaways for this is that it's easy to do, and it works well, in the sense that you can get it from nothing to a working environment, a POC, a pilot, or whatever, in just a couple of hours. So it's nothing special about it. Scaling up from a POC to a production-ready environment, that's another story. So, and it's not in scope for this session. So during, yeah, you can.
Yeah, so for the agenda for the day, we'll start off with an overview about what are the remote desktop services, what is included, and then we go through our walkthrough to deploy an infrastructure, both a VM-based solution and a session-based solution. We have a look under the covers how it really works, what are the differences between, for example, VDI deployments and session-based deployments. And we would also like to share some resources we put together, what the product team is providing, what are on various blogs from Microsoft. And in the end, we will hand it over to Thomas from the product team to show one of our partners that add value to our solution. So let's start with the remote desktop services, or VDI, in Windows Server 2012. We at Microsoft took a very persona and personal perspective on that topic. We'll start all our projects and all our meetings when we discuss with customers about VDI or desktop virtualization with a look at the users that the customer has, what the needs of the users is, and what the requirements are. And what we see within customers is that the users today have numerous devices in use, starting from their traditional laptop or PC, continuing with tablets, phones, and all of these devices are used by the users, and the user expect to get access to their company applications. And finally, what really matters for them is access and secure access to the data. And with all of that in mind, we started to introduce and to talk about remote desktop services and VDI with a people-centric approach. So all the users and devices and apps need to be managed by IT, so by you guys, for example, to have a common management environment to control the access, to control the deployment of the applications and the access to the data. So this is the goals you, that drives you, is to enable your end users to get their work done from any place and from any device by also keeping the management effort limited and providing access to work resources and applications. And finally, to have that all in a secure way without any data leaving your company or is getting stored on the endpoint device.
Yeah, so to achieve this, we have RDS provides in Windows Server 2012 R2, RDS provides three versions of the pretty much the same thing. So it's desktop sessions, pool VMs, and personal VMs. Each of these addresses a specific need. So the first thing you want to do is figure out what you want to do with the whole environment, so where you want to take it. We have a couple of slides showing the differences between each of the options and what are the pros and the cons for each of them. But what we wanted to do now is... Yeah.
So first of all, I would like to explain a little bit the desktop virtualization evolution and progress we made. So what you are familiar with is the on-premise approach using session-based computing or virtual desktop infrastructure based on VMs running on a virtualization environment, all in your data center. And I think early last year, we started to extend this offering to the cloud based on Azure, for example, with introducing the ability to run remote desktop service session hosts on Azure as an IaaS workload, so a VM-based workload where you configure your infrastructure running on Azure infrastructure. And earlier this year, we introduced the technical preview of Azure Remote App to provide your company apps from Azure as a managed service by Microsoft. So this is running in the cloud. The on-premise approach doesn't go away, so all of the four solutions are there equal, and we are continuing to innovate on all of this on all of these platforms. So with that short introduction, we hand over to the first demo of the day.
Hopefully, everybody did. Everybody play with 2012 R2? I mean, is there? So the first thing you would see as a landing page for an RDS deployment is the web page where you have access to all of your resources. So what we did for our first demo is only a brief showcase of what VDI means and what remote app means. So we have a Windows Server, Windows 10 technical preview client that will actually is actually configured to have inside streamed session applications from another server. So our apps, if we go down here, and I know this is small, but you have to trust me, that this machine doesn't have installed on it any Office applications. So all these applications are streamed from another server, which runs the bits. And we have a quick demo here with, hoping I get the password right, with a calculator. So the calculator is a pretty standard thing to find on a client machine. The calculator, it will boot up at one point here. You'll see differences between them and between it and the local running calculator. We got a lot of networks in the, on these machines, and it takes a while to actually find the route to authenticate, but it will open up. As soon as it does, you will see that there's a difference between these two versions. So one of them, this is running on the local machine, and this one is running on the Windows Server machines. So we have a client OS in which we aggregate all the other applications running in separate machines, right? So we can open like this Excel or Office or whatever.
Yeah, and this is also a great way to, for example, start evaluating and playing around with a technical preview of Windows 10 and still able to access some working applications and company applications from, for example, a remote app host.
But we have other demos, so we will go in depth on, well, not, we will showcase each of the technologies used here and how you create those. So we said there's three main technologies to which you can use from RDS. Each of them has trade-offs and benefits, so it depends on what you need to achieve with them. The best flexibility and the most customability, if you want, so the highest level of customization you can achieve is in the personal VMs. The personal VMs means there's a ratio of 1-to-1 of your users to their virtual machines. That means that the hardware and costs and everything is the least of your benefits. On the other end of the scale, there's a session VMs, which achieve a greater user ratio. So you have multiple users sitting on the same machines, and that will help you reduce the costs of those of that deployment. Now, for each of them, there's a long list of pros and cons, and we have another slide later on going through these.
So we'll start now with the walkthrough on how we can set up an RDS or VDI deployment. And in the beginning, it is very smart to think first about your planned topology and then start acting by adding roles and features to the server. Using Server Manager, you have to deal with things like sys prepping your image if you are deploying a VDI pool, for example, and with certificates and licensing. And then you can start create so-called collections. Collections are aggregation levels for either VMs or sessions that share a common set of configuration properties. And finally, if you have configured all the infrastructure pieces, you can configure the clients by providing them access to the RD web page we've seen before, and to make sure that these clients have the appropriate certificates to get the SSL encryption right. If you are providing access to external users over the internet, you want to make sure that you have a certificate from an external certification authority like Symantec or whatever. If you're just using it internally within your company, you can definitely use internal PKI certificates for that as well. So to add remote desktop services to a Windows Server 2012, it's really simple and easy. There's a deployment wizard, and we encourage all of you to use that. Do not or avoid adding the roles individual to the servers like you've done it maybe in 2008 or 2 time frame. Use the wizard to create a deployment because you need it. And it's not just enough to add simple and individual roles.
And there's two main ways to deploy RDS. There's a quick way, and then there's the standard way. We will demo the quick way, which means this is meant for just a POC, a demo environment, an environment where you will play with those technologies. The standard deployment is offers a bit more customization. So the first thing you will see is the server manager, where you will need to add all your servers. This was taken from our very special laptop. So we have actually have a laptop which runs the entire infrastructure, so AD, DNS, DHCP, and so on. The process for the standard deployment is quite straightforward. So you select the standard deployment, and then you select which type of deployment it is. So it's either virtual machine based, which means you set up virtual machines for your users, and then there's the session based, where applications are running on the servers, and then you present those to your end users. You require the broker role, which will sit in the middle of your deployment and route the access from the clients to the each of the resources. The web access provides the portal which you saw earlier, where that's pretty much the landing page for your users. That's the first thing they will see. And then the RDSSH, the session host, which is actually the backbone of the whole thing. So we select the broker. We select the web access. This will be, you will see these as straightforward thing. So these will be all the servers which you have added in your server manager, so the ones you manage. And then from here, you just select those and add them as a role. And that's it. It will go through the whole thing, install each of the services, reboot whatever needs to be rebooted, and hopefully you'll have succeeded all the way. There are various issues you can find during a standard installation, depending on your type of environment. So if you have custom GPOs, for example, you might have some problems. If you have security, if it's a issue, you might have some problems. So having a clean environment will help you move straight forward through this.
Yeah. So if the wizard of the deployment finishes successfully, you will end up with this view. If everything runs fine, you have on the left-hand side your deployment overview. All roles that are enabled within your BDI deployment are turning gray when they are running, and they are appearing with a green plus sign if there is a role still to add. In our case, now you can see the RD web is enabled and configured, as well as licensing, connection broker, and both virtualization host and session host. On the right-hand side, you can see all the servers that are part of the deployment, and all of the servers are managed from this console. So, and one of the issues some of our customers and users run into, for example, when they start and kicking off the deployment process, is that they are sometimes lacking the admin permissions on the servers that are involved or should be part of the deployment. Or, for example, the remote management is turned off by GPO on the remote systems. And for that case, the wizard is not able to perform the operations. So this is absolutely necessary to make sure that you have the ability to remotely manage the systems that should be part of the deployment.
So just one add here. We went through the broker web access and the host themselves. You can see in the screenshot here the RD gateway. That role is used for internet access. So if you have users connecting from your external network to your internal network, this is the role you will need. And also the RD licensing, well, you can figure out what that licensing role would do. So with that said, we have a clean machine. So we showed our big laptop, which is not that big at all, with all the services. Now we have one machine, which hopefully you can see here, which doesn't have installed anything on it. So the way you would start at this is, if you have a quick, if you want to do a quick deployment, you will start the manager and just add the roles, skip the landing page, and then you select here the quick start deployment. This means that your that the wizard expects this to be a demo, a pilot, a quick setup which helps you just spin up the roles and play with them. So it adds all the required roles on the same machine. So you have the broker, web access, and RDS session host on the same machine. We cannot showcase the virtual machine based scenario because we don't have another laptop to act as an Hyper-V host. And you just select we select this machine. We go through the entire wizard, and that's it. This will go on and add the broker roles and then the web access and everything else on the same machine. And at the end of it, you will have a working environment where you can demo, test, and just try out each of those features.
Yeah, just to make that clear, the quick deployment is a one-box deployment. You have no options to distribute the roles over different servers. As soon as you want that and have, for example, the broker on a separate server, the web access on a separate server, you have to choose the standard deployment. So the quick deployment is always one box, everything in the same VM.
And for the standard deployment, the screenshots we showed earlier, those are the actual ones we used setting up our environment. So it's nothing staged or anything.
Okay. So while the quick deployment is running and rebooting the machine, what's also involved in the process to install and get the roles running, I will have a look under the covers about how our technology is working. And I would like to start off with Remote App. Remote App is one of the options you have when you are deploying a session-based environment. So this requires a Windows Server 2012 R2 server operating system with a session host role enabled. And then you can start publish Remote Apps. Remote App is you assign and configure a specific application like Excel we've shown before or the calculator and provide access for your users to this individual application. And what's happening in that case is the application gets executed on the server side. When a user accesses this environment over the web access and starts the connection, in the background, the applications get started up on the server, and it consumes all the resources necessary to execute the application on the server, like CPU, memory, disk I/O, whatever. Everything is consumed on the server side. And to the endpoint, only the display data is transmitted. And on the end user's device, just also the application window shows up. The user don't see a complete desktop. It just see the application that is getting launched. And all the applications are centrally managed on the session host server, but they appear to run locally. And the user experience and the look and feel is like a local running application. Just to mention that, there's a testlet guide available to set that up. It's out there on TechNet. From a user experience perspective, on Windows 8.1, for example, you can pin and provide those applications blended into the start screen. So on the left-hand side, in the left red box, you can see traditionally installed applications on the Windows 8.1 machine. And on the right-hand side, for example, here you have side-by-side running Excel 2010. Maybe for a kind of migration phase, you want to provide access to legacy applications, and you can provide those applications using Remote App without all the hassles involved of running multiple application versions side by side on the same operating system instance. And this also works well with Windows 7. You can configure access to those remote app programs and integrate them into the start menu of Windows 7. And what to be shown in the beginning of the presentation, this also works with Windows 10 and the integration in the new start menu of Windows 10. Switching over to remote desktop sessions, so we're going from providing individual apps to providing access to the whole Windows desktop. This behavior is quite similar to the behavior of remote app, with the main difference is you're not showing an individual application, you're showing the full Windows desktop of the server to the end user, and all again, all the resources are consumed on the session host, and every user gets the display data transmitted over to his device, and on his device a complete Windows desktop from the server appears, and the user has access to all the applications. When you run Windows Server 2012 R2 there, it is recommended to install the Desktop Experience feature pack to have access to all the desktop style applications you are familiar with from Windows 8, like the snipping tool or media player that are not on the Windows Server operating system by default. And lastly, I would like to show what's going on when you're running a VDI deployment, so running individual VMs. This means you have a Hyper-V host running like we do on our laptop, and on this laptop you instantiate a VM instance per user. And this VM runs a Windows 8.1 or Windows 7 desktop operating system, also Windows 10 technical preview operating system. In a VM that gets assigned to an individual user. And all, again, all the resources are consumed on the Hyper-V host. So every VM needs memory, every VM needs storage and CPU cycles, but it's dedicated to a specific user, user session in that case. And for the end user perspective, it, the look and feel is quite similar to the remote desktop feeling and experience before, with the main contrast that the user is running now a desktop operating system and has in the ability to become a local administrator on the VM. Apart from that, it's not really recommended from us to run as a local administrator on your desktop, but this is a possible option, especially if you run personal VMs, so you have a one-to-one mapping of VMs to users. So maybe a good use case for developers that needs to run tools that require administrative privileges. And this is not possible if you are in the remote app or in the session-based deployments. Otherwise, if the user is admin in this scenario, he would mess up the environments of the other users.
Technically speaking, it's possible, it's not something you want to do.
Absolutely not. Yeah, Tibi.
So, some of you said you already tinkered with Windows Server 2012 R2. Is everybody familiar with storage spaces? Did you try it out? Is it awesome? In 2012, Storage Spaces had a feature called deduplication. This was intended only for static files, so files which do not change over time. In 2012 R2, this got extended to include the running VMs. So what you can do now is have a VDI personal pool, which means one-to-one allocation of the VMs per user, and run a deduplication process on that pool. That would basically mean that if all the machines are configured the same, all that data will get deduplicated. So the amount of storage you will need, it gets quite drastically reduced. If you sort of combine this or think about this and add the tiering part as well, so if storage spaces uses tiering as well, you will end up having a very fast let's say master image, it's not a master image, but have the common bits put on the faster storage layer, and then everything else should run in the same place. So you can benefit from both of them for the running VMs.
Okay, we are heading out to our next demo.
Just wanted to show that the wizard actually completed, so it didn't crash or anything. I didn't do any trickery behind. At the end of that wizard, you will end up with your where is it? All the roles added inside the same server, and then you can start the provision collection and so on. And Klaus will go through the collection creation process.
Yep. So I'm switching over to our connection broker of our standard deployment. So this is where we also taken the screenshot from in the presentation. We have our standard deployment consisting of an RD web access, RD licensing server, connection broker. And what's different here, what we prepared before is having also a remote desktop virtualization host running and RD session host running. So what I would like to show first is go a little bit into the process of creating VM-based collection, and then I will not finish that because it also takes some time to create, and I will show to create a new session-based collection with Office 2010. So first, we'll start with the VM-based collection just to go through the steps. So you begin with defining a name for the collection. And then you select the type of VM-based collection you want to create. Here you can have to make the decision if you want to make a pooled virtual desktop collection. Pooled means that you have a master image that you need to prepare. That includes all the applications you need and want to have provided to the users. And based on this master image, instances are getting created automatically for every user that logs on to the environment. And with a personal virtual desktop collection, you also can define the template of this virtual desktop collection. But when a user logs on, he gets assigned an individual VM and stays related and connected to this VM. So every time he comes back, he will end up on his personal virtual desktop. So just showing this pooled virtual desktop, I keep that checkmarked, meaning that the connection broker gets creating additional VMs automatically, and you don't have to take care about that. In the next step, you have to create and select the master image. In our case, this is already taken for our virtual desktop, existing virtual desktop pool. And when you go next to the next step, hopefully that works. Yeah. You can specify if you want to provide an additional undetenant file that's getting used when the instances are created to configure settings. And finally, when you finish up the wizard, the process starts to create this environment. The time how long it takes to create such a pool is very depending on the storage performance of your system. So to get the best experience, I definitely recommend to use SSDs if you're running that locally on a single laptop. So if you're not having a big server equipment, SSDs might be a good idea for your laptop. I will cancel that wizard now switching over to create a new session collection. And I will call that.
So we have Office 2013 collection, which has the latest version of Office. And we have another server which runs Office 2010. So we will have two separate servers running the different Office versions, and stream those two inside the same virtual machine.
Yeah. So in this step of the process to create that collection, I have to select the session host that runs the application I want to be available in the collection. A session host can only be part of a single collection. So you cannot reuse a session host in different collections. If you want to create a new collection, you have to have at least one session host available for that collection. You can later on add additional session hosts if you want to. So this is not fixed. And if your user demand is growing and you want to add additional resources, you can change that assignment as well later on. The same is about the user access. I will keep that on the default of the main users. But you definitely want to change this to a group that want you to give access to the applications and the session desktop.
Because we only have two users in our domain anyway. So.
Yeah. The next step is to select if you want to have the user profile disk. I will disable that now for the demo because it just takes some time, additional time to create the collection if I have that enabled. What the user profile disk does is it redirects the user profile to a VHDX file that is dynamically attached during the logon process of the user. So this is kind of the virtual desktop flavor of roaming profiles. So if you use the user profile disk, you get the user customization and personalization stored on a VHDX that gets mounted when the user is logged on. It's very fast. It's not a download involved over the network to transfer the profile from a file server. But you have to keep in mind this user profile is unique to this collection. And if the user logs on, for example, to his local PC, to his local laptop, he won't get the customization settings he made in the user profile and are stored in the user profile disk. So if you want to have that roaming behavior through your whole environment, you still might want to use roaming profile or user environment virtualization.
UEV is user environment virtualization is another product which will help you gather all of your user settings and replicate those on each of the environments the user logs into. So because the user comes from one PC and connects to your server machine, it will have a different experience across them if you don't take care about the settings.
Okay, so. As I skipped the user profile disk creation, the collection creation is pretty fast, and it's now here available in my collection view on the left-hand side. And now I can start to publish remote app programs. And what this wizard does now is it retrieves the add remove programs list from the session host, from the control panel, and provides me a list of all applications he can find on the system. If there is an application that is not registered in add remove programs, maybe it's just an exe file you just thrown on the disk and it's not registered anywhere, you can still add manual the path to the application and also publish it. But this is a very convenient way if the application is regularly installed. So for example, you can now say, hey, I want my users to have access to an older version of Access because they have an old database they want to get access to, and you can publish that.
If you're familiar with AppV, for example, do you know? So using AppV, you can push the package inside the RDS machine, and then from there, stream it to the end user. So the way you would do this is that the package gets run on the session host, and then you just push the image on the user. So the user endpoint device doesn't require additional resources to run that package.
So after the program is published, it will appear, as you see here, in the remote desktop web access. We have now the Microsoft Access 2010 available as a remote app, and we have side-by-side available the remote apps we've published for Office 2013. In addition, we have the Windows 8.1 pool, where I provided you the first 80% of the creation wizard available as well. And we can access this from the web access as well. And clicking on the link, the connection starts, and the user gets logged on to his Windows 8.1 desktop.
So the user will go through the from the web access to the broker to the end machine, and then will only talk to the end machine. So the connection from this point forward is just pointing to the actual virtual machine. Because this is a VM running on a laptop with a lot of other stuff running on it, it takes a while to log in, but it's nothing.
Yeah. So if everything works fine like it does here, the user ends up on a plain brand new Windows 8.1 desktop with all the cool stuff in it. And from there, we also can include the remote apps into the start screen.
So the user sees here, the way we use the master image is just a clean OS, clean Windows 8 OS. If you configure that and adjust that to your organizational needs, the landing page will be different as well. So the modern app page, the Metro page.
So the way how you access those remote app programs and add that to the start screen is you either go through the control panel and start this wizard for remote app and desktop connections. Or if you are in an enterprise environment, you can assign this connection via GPO. This is maybe the more convenient way from an end user's perspective because you don't have to take care about that. So just here for the demo, we'll do that manually just to show you how that works. I'll just copy over the URL to make the life easier for me. What's very important at that stage is this URL has to be an HTTPS URL. And the certificate has to be trusted on the device where you configure this connection. It is not possible to connect to an HTTP RDBAP access, and it's also not possible if the certificate is not trusted by the endpoint. You have no option to establish now the trust relationship. This has to be made sure before. So the wizard has finished, and as you can see, you have five new programs available and two additional desktops. And on the start screen, it appears like that. You get a lot of new programs provided on Windows 8.1, and you also are able to pin that to your start screen and start it from there. So what this does is it creates a session for PowerPoint on our session host that is part of the Office 2013 collection, and will provide PowerPoint to this Windows 8.1 machine, even if as PowerPoint is not installed there. So here we are with PowerPoint.
Do you have any questions so far? Shoot. Yes, we will, yeah, yes. Quick question, yeah. Quick answer, yes. But we take these on the next thing, next slide. Yeah.
Thank you. What would be the best principles to lock down the pooled desktop? So that in a kiosk mode, like a non-regular user can access that kiosk like a customer. But we only want to present like a limited number of apps, like one app, and completely lock down so that you don't have access to the rest of the network.
So you can, if you have a pooled VDI deployment, you can the user will probably not be a local admin, and the once the user logs off that VM, the image is destroyed. So it's just refreshed. So you can lock it down the same way you would do as a with GPOs and whatever for a typical workstation, but then that machine gets refreshed every time the user logs in. So every time it will get a new fresh VM.
Okay, so we switch over to our presentation again.
We went through the session host and the VM-based deployments. The one thing you need to consider here is that they're not one or the other thing. So you can mix and match both of them. You can have VDI machines, either VM-based machines, either pooled or personal, and then stream applications inside those machines, just the way we did it in the demo. And this will help you reduce the amount of hardware needed, of resources needed for the virtual machines, and increase the user density on that hardware. If we talk about personal or pooled machines, it really comes back to what you need the users to be able to do. So if we talk about a kiosk environment, for example, you will probably not want to assign a one-to-one ratio because the user will come in, do something, and leave, and probably not come back. And that machine makes no sense to have it running. So pooled VMs will help you have a fresh image every time the user logs in. And if you need additional customization on that, you can build on with UEV or
user profile disk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so pooled VMs are a very efficient way to provide access to a desktop operating system environment. And personal VMs are for users that have the demand to get an absolutely persistent environment, install own application, and customize the operating system in every piece. So this matrix and this table will go a little bit more into detail about what are the key differences between the virtual desktop infrastructure and session virtualization. So providing an individual VM to the user or providing access via session host. I will not go through every line of this table. Just to give you an overview, you definitely also have access to the presentation afterwards. And what I want to highlight here is, first of all, the lower CapEx and OpEx costs if you're going with a session virtualization environment, because the user density is almost double compared to the virtualization VM-based deployment approach, assuming that you're using the same hardware. But it's also very depending on the kind of applications you're using. So, and what I also want to mention is last line, if you have the need to use and run 3D applications that make heavy use of DirectX features, and you want to give access or provide access to a physical GPU, a physical graphics adapter that is mounted into the Hyper-V host, you have to choose the virtual desktop VM-based deployment. This is not possible with a session-based deployment to provide access to the physical GPU in the host. But this is only necessary if you run that kind of applications in your virtual desktops.
So we talked about the session-based, we talked about the VM-based. There's also an additional type of deployment you can have, which you probably heard about, the DAS approach, where the desktop itself is run somewhere else and you only consume it. The client OS, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, the client OS of that machine is a server machine. So it's not a client OS. It's skinned down to look like a client OS, but it's not it's actually an RDS session host running Windows Server, and then added desktop composition and a whole bunch of other features to make that one look like a Windows client VM.
Yeah, so as Tibby already mentioned, as we have a very broad choice of options to deploy virtual desktops in Windows Server 2012, what we see when we go to customers and also running project there, as we are both from MCS, in the end, when the project is finished, usually we will end up with a mixture of options that are part of this deployment. So it's very rare to see 100% pure session-based deployment. It's also very rare to see 100% personal virtual desktop deployment. The latter, especially about the high resource consumption and costs introduced with that, and the first mainly cause that during in an enterprise environment with hundreds or even thousands of applications, you will probably find one that is not running on a session host. And for that, you can provide access to a pooled or personal virtual desktop. But usually, you will end up with a mixture ratio of 80-20, something like that. The beauty of the solution of Windows Server 2012 R2 is that you can manage both just from the same console within the same environment and don't have the hassle of switching between 10 different consoles having a PhD required to manage all that stuff. Yeah, so RDP 8.1, just before I hand over to Thomas, is the display protocol we use to access the sessions and the VMs. We made a lot of improvement, especially compared to the RDP 7 version that was part of Windows 7, starting with RDP 8.0 and continuing with RDP 8.1. A lot of improvement were made, especially on the scalability in wide area network environments, and the reconnection process, for example, to disconnected sessions get improved a lot, and it's very fast now. We have full multi-touch support to benefit also from tablet devices and access remote sessions from there. And we're continuing to ship new versions, not only for the Windows operating system for this client, but also for iOS, for Mac OS X, and for Android. And these clients are also, if you have maybe had the chance to have a look at that, they will get continuously refreshed in the stores of those vendors, and getting updated with new features, new capabilities. I think more or less on a monthly or bi-monthly basis. And also the clients available down from Windows 7 to Windows 8.1 and Windows RT. So with that, I would like to hand over to Thomas Willingham. Thomas is from the product team, from the RDS product team, and he will show one of our partners that extends our solution with additional capabilities you might be interested in. Thomas, it's your stage.
Great, thank you. Where are we? Okay, as Klaus mentioned, my name is Thomas Willingham. I'm from the product team. How many of you have tried or enabled an installation of 2008 R2 VDI? Wow, that many? That's because our initial entry into the VDI market was complicated. Our initial entry into the VDI market, you installed six or seven different servers. You had to go to each individual server to perform the installation. You had to do it in the right order. You had to do it on the right day. You had to do it at the right time. And if you didn't, it didn't work. It was very complicated. You almost had to have a PhD to get it to work. And if you did get it to work, you were so amazed that everything, it was all worth it. But you had to get it to work. It was so complicated, we had to create a poster of how it all integrated. With 2012, we created a single UI on the server for the installation. So is everybody familiar? Well, majority of you in Klaus and Tibby kind of walk through that UI that enables you to have that wizard perform the installation, the quick start. Quick start installs everything on a single server, gets you going for proof of concept. Once you can see it running, once you can kind of figure it out, it's really easy. You have that nice UI to get you going. This kind of shows the evolution or progression of how far we've come in our virtual desktop infrastructure solution. Initially, when VDI first came out, mid-2000, 2006, 2007, everybody was touting cost savings. Oh, VDI, it's cost savings. Yeah, I see people going, uh-uh. Because what's more expensive, network storage or local storage? They didn't think about that. So it ended up not being more expensive. It was more complicated because now you had additional infrastructure costs, you had additional storage costs. Depending on which version of VDI that you installed, it was complicated. I'm not saying all of this to tear down Microsoft's solution. Again, I'm talking about this to talk about the evolution of where we started and where we're at now. Fortunately, we have some great partners out there that help extend our solution, that take that foundation, that platform that we've created, and extend it. So some VDI challenges that we have today. One, creating a great user environment, so ensuring a rich user environment with the applications they want, with the experience they want, and balancing that with IT manageability. Application virtualization issues. You go to install that application, it may or may not run in the environment that you want to run it in. Not all applications have that problem, but some do. And when you do have that issue, how do you overcome it? And then finally, everybody's favorite thing, gold image sprawl. So you start with one, and you have that perfect gold image. And then you have another group, and they're like, oh, we want some additional apps. So now you have two. And then you have 30. And then you have 50. And then you have 80. Each of these images have to be patched, have to be updated. How do you manage that? And not only do they have to be patched and updated, they're all taking storage. Again, network storage is expensive. So how do you manage gold image sprawl? So we have a partner, Unidesk. Unidesk has introduced, well, it's not new, but new to the Microsoft environment, app layering technology. What this enables is a single gold image per OS. So truly, a single image per operating system. One for 7, one for 8, one for 8.1, one for soon to be 10. The apps are installed in their own VHD. When you want to associate an application to a user, you start with the gold image, you layer the associated applications on it, and an application layer can have one application or many applications in it. Layer that on top, presented to the user is a single common image. So to the user, it looks like a single image, even though they're all managed separately. The OS can be managed separately, which means when it comes time to patch that image, you're updating a single image, enabling easy image management and storage optimization. Because now you're not talking about 30, 50, 80 different images. You're talking about one image for your OS and then different images for your application layers. Persistent personalization. So as users manage their environment, those changes persist. And then finally, the ability, all this functionality enables the ability to patch, repair, and roll back changes to the different layers. Desktop layering. So there are different layers for different components. There's an OS layer, an application layer. These layers are read-only, so the user can't even change those. Then there is the user layer. This is writable per the user, so they can make changes, they can customize. As the image, as the user requests his image, requests his desktop, all those layers are brought together and presented to the user, like I said, as a single desktop. The benefits, a very simple application delivery. So now when you want to introduce a new app into the environment, you don't have to open up your gold image, install it into that gold image, or spin up a new one. You create a new application layer, add it to the desktops you want to add it to, and it gets propagated to those users. Again, a single gold image, storage savings right there. Users can customize their environments without affecting or impacting the other images. And then a management UI for really efficient management. So let me go ahead and show you what some of this looks like. And really quick, I'm showing a video because this is just being released in preview this week. So it's so new that they kind of videoed some stuff for me so I can present it to you. As I said, this is in preview this week. So if you're interested in it, you can go to Unidesk's website, pull it down, and start playing with it. But that's why we're running video here. It's not like I'm trying to smoke and mirrors and do weird stuff. It's just, this is really new, at least in the Microsoft environment. They've been around for about 4 years, so it's not like it's new technology. It's just new to us. So basically what you see here is a Windows 10 desktop. They're going into Control Panel. All these applications are all layers that have been added to this desktop. Notice they're all displayed in this in Control Panel as if they were part of this image. There's different things here. They have the Unidesk Preparation Utility, Microsoft Office Professional, GoToMeeting. So all of these layers just add into this image. And it's really kind of interesting because as you get into the UI here, so you get into the file system, when you look at the file system, you'll see that to the user, this is all seamless. So you're going into the file system, you're looking at Office. They see that file system as if it were native to this image. So that's kind of a little bit about what layering is. Now let's talk about how simple it is to package the application. Because that's another part of the problem is you have these technologies out there that make it easier to utilize your VDI environment, but they're really technical and people need PhDs to be able to use them. So in this, you create an application, such as Test App. You create an application. You go into the application, you give it a layer name. You tell it what OS you're going to use. So you give it some information. You can label what version it's going to be. So here's where you pick the OS. for that OS, here's what image or what that image has associated with it. Here's the memory, here's the number of CPUs, here's what that image looks like. Next, it's going to look at what are the prerequisite layers. So a prerequisite layer is, let's say that I want to install Office plugins on a layer. Well, I'd need access to Office for those plugins to see. So any prerequisite applications would be added here. Once you've done this, you boot into the VHD that's associated with this layer, you install the applications, and then finalize this system. You see it's very straightforward to use. So pretty much anybody in your help desk chain will be able to do this and create layers for the different VDI systems. Okay, so I've shown you what it looks like from a user perspective. I've shown you how to create and package an application. You saw how straightforward it is. Finally, let's talk about the ease of management of these applications here. So, to manage these, you can search on the different collections, on the different app layers. You can manage tens or even hundreds of different layers. You can manage your OS layers. You can manage your app layers. You can create new desktops for your users, associate new desktops. So I want user Joe to have this base OS and then be associated to these applications. I know this has been kind of fast. We've had like a lot of information thrown at you. We just wanted to kind of throw this in here. Thanks. So the tech preview for Unidesk is available now. You can go to this website here, unidesk.com, for the tech preview. It enables the management of RDS collections. So it's currently in tech preview. The expected GA release is January 2015. Again, we're thankful to have these kind of partners that really extend the solution that Microsoft has for VDI. I'd like to thank Klaus and Tibby for letting me insert myself into their session. Oh, question? Okay, very good. I'll definitely give that back to them and have them included, have that information included. That's helpful. So basically, you're looking for competitive analysis of what it looks like for using app streaming and the app management using this, correct?
Yeah, basically, and what would justify moving from. Most people will be running C2's other VMware technologies moving that way.
Okay, fair enough. Well, actually, this is currently available for Citrix technologies. But yeah, no, that's a great point, and I'll go ahead and give that feedback to him. Thank you. Any other before I hand it back to Klaus and Tibby? Yep. Honestly, I am not familiar with their billing or licensing strategy. I'm the technical product manager for Microsoft, not for Unidesk. Yes. So honestly, I'm not sure what their strategy is going to be.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let me go ahead and hand it back to Klaus and Tibby. Again, thank you for your time today.
Thank you,
there you go.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. We are
6 minutes left before the end of the session, so we would like to open up now for Q&A. So please feel free to ask any questions. If you are shy for the mic, you can see us both at Ask the Experts tonight, also come to the stage and ask questions afterwards. So with that said, please fill out the evaluation of the session if you liked it. And there are also other related sessions in that technology area. Thank you.